heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to open the broadcast by encouraging you to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Last night, I sat down with the journal and I began to reread the gun control debate, Two Christian Perspectives. And I have watched so many television programs on this, certainly after Sandy Hook or the Washington Navy Yard or the Aurora Theater or the Sikh Temple or mass murders such as those which have been shaking national composure with alarming regularity. And every time I watch one of these programs, I feel as though there is more heat than light. I really haven't come to any understanding of the issue. And I must confess, this is not an issue that is in the area of my specialization. So last night, again, I sat down with the Christian Research Journal because this is the cover story of the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. And I began reading the gun control debate because, again, there are two Christians arguing from different perspectives. I got done reading the first perspective and I thought, that's right. And then I start reading the second perspective and I say, no, wait a minute. There's more to consider here. And then there are the rebuttals from both writers. And the point is quite simply this. In the process, I didn't have heat and no light, but I began to gain clarity. I began to gain perspective. And this from a person who's never handled a gun, at least that I can remember. I don't have a gun. It's foreign to me. I can't imagine owning a gun. And so it's not something, again, that I'm conversant with, but I think it is a transcendently important subject. We're all dealing with it. It's part of a violent culture. So what is the Second Amendment? What does it really say? Do you really know? What about the nature of rights? Do restrictive gun laws really work? And what are the ethics of the kingdom? What do we mean by a gospel of life? And what about the problem of misinformation? My goodness, are we getting misinformation? And what's an assault rifle? Does anyone need one? Or a high-capacity magazine? And what were the ethics of Jesus Christ on this debate? What ultimately is the price of freedom? All this and more as you read through very readable articles in the Christian Research Journal, and of course, that's just one of the articles that will interest you in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. And right now, you can use the special offer code WINTER2014 and receive a discount on a subscription plus the current edition of the Christian Research Journal absolutely free. You can subscribe online at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI, as mentioned previously, the number to dial to get your question answered today live on air, 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Let's go right to our callers and talk first to Sophia in Brooklyn, New York, listening on the web. Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Hank. Oh, my God. My son is sitting over there getting a spasm. He knows you're on the phone, and he's literally having a spasm. respond to you. I have Hank on the phone. I'm calling because two things. My son and I listen to you. I have a 15-year-old son who has cerebral palsy, and we listen to you all the time. Now, you've often spoken about spiritual warfare, and that if we're covered and if we put on the full armor of God, then of course nothing, no outside entity can harm us. And I listened to that several times when you mentioned that on your broadcast, and I was very skeptic because I've had my own experiences. But then I started practicing a better and more serious spiritual life, and it's true. You are so true. You are seriously on the dime with that. You are so correct. So I just wanted to call and say that. Now, the second thing is about dreams. I know that you do have, you kind of differ when it comes to dreams, and you say sometimes, and of course the Bible says in the multitude of dreams there is deceit. However, I there are some things that you've said about dreams that I don't necessarily agree with, because for the last maybe 20 years of my life, or maybe 18 years of my life, every time there is something not right in my life, I mean, whether it's people and circumstances, God has always visited me in a vision, and the things have always come true. And these are not to say that, maybe I'm having a traumatic experience, so I go to bed thinking about that subconsciously. I mean, he literally visits me to the point where I get kind of petrified that, and I didn't understand it when I was 17 when it started, and I didn't know it was a gift. And I prayed and asked him to take it from me. But I do get visions about myself and other people, and it goes exactly that way. So if you may want to comment on that.
Yeah, well, let me say, first of all, I appreciate your perspective and certainly your encouraging words. What I would say about dreams is not that God cannot speak to us through dreams. God can. And to put God in a box in that sense, I think, would be wrong on my part. What I have said about dreams, however, is that dreams are notoriously unreliable because they are a subjective experience. It doesn't mean that there's not truth and that God cannot speak through a dream, but we're cautioned continually in Scripture to test all things and then hold fast to the good. So as long as a person is biblically literate and has a foundation whereby they can adequately test their subjective experience to see if it is truly from God, then they're in a good place. But many people, particularly in a post-Christian culture, simply don't have the wherewithal to do that. And you see that manifested in near-death experiences today. Near-death experiences are an altered state of consciousness, very much like the dream state would be. So when you look at Christians who interpret the Bible literally, they end up, through their visions and dreams, being galvanized in the presupposition that God the Father has enormous wings and ever sits upon a golden throne. If you have a Kabbalist, they become solidified in the notion with respect to transmigration. Or a Hindu might get the impression that the whole notion that they've given their life to, the impersonal cosmic consciousness of the universe, is indeed true. Or a Muslim would encounter the Holy Spirit as the Archangel Gabriel. Or a Buddhist would be guided down the pathway to nirvanic realization of no self. So the point here is that celestial travelers, whether through dreams or visions or near-death experiences, are increasingly being converted to an intoxicating brand of mysticism because they don't know truth. So they're guided by subjective presuppositions. So again, to boil all that down, what I'm saying is we have to be very, very careful with subjective experiences. We must test all things and hold fast to the good. Because the ultimate revelation to you and I, Sophia, for faith and practice is the Word of God. That is the final court of arbitration. And I think we should spend a lot of time knowing the Word of God, and then the subjective experience specter is not nearly as dangerous for us.
Well, I've never had a near-death experience injury.
No. I was only using that as a parallel. A parallel, okay. Because in a sense, a person who's having a near-death experience is not experiencing biological death. They're experiencing clinical death, and they're in, as it were, for loose communication, an altered state of consciousness, which is similar to what happens when we're in a dream state. Not identical, but there are similarities. So I'm simply coalescing those ideas to say that what people of various persuasions dream about and think is true is usually in concert with the worldview that they go into the dream with. So if you have a biblical worldview that corresponds to reality and you have a dream, you have a basis by which you can test. And that's the whole thing. We want to test the subjective experience.
Okay. Another thing, one quick question regarding the Sabbath. I have been really, really looking through because I am very detached from that religion. I can't stand religion. I think it's just a farce. But the Sabbath, I believe the Sabbath still stands in. And you said some things that I'm really, really searching because, again, you say test all things. So I'm in that stage, but I just wanted to say I'm yet to see where that has been abrogated. Although I do not, and for many years I subscribed to that because that was the pathology that I was brought up under. If you don't worship on the Sabbath, you're not going to ever one bunch of nonsense, and you're not going to do this and this or that, and where to wear the sign. My parents are still under that, and I see the burden that they literally have this legal burden. And then where, Sunset Friday to Sunset Saturday, they are holier than ever. And then after that, I grew up under that. No love, no nurturing, no nothing. So I have come clearly to clearly understand and distinguish that. That day in and of itself does not constitute righteousness. It is hallowed. It is blessed. And I'm still searching out certain things about it after, are ardently listening to you, but I want to tell you, you have truly, truly, truly blessed my spiritual life. You've got me back on track. I'm talking, I'm getting teary-eyed. You've got me back on track. I thank you for coming into my home. My son, when he heard that I had you on the phone, he has spastic cerebral palsy. He literally went in spasms. Just over there gritting his teeth. We listen to you every morning, getting him dressed for school, and every night before we go to bed. And we listen to three. We listen to you, David Jeremiah, or Doug Batchelor. And he always, it's like always a hassle between him and I. He says, I want to listen to Hanky Hanky. That's what he calls you. And he prefers to listen to you. He's over there on the couch. He's literally like stiffening up.
Well, give him a hug for me. And Sophia, thank you so much for your words of encouragement. I've got to run, but appreciate your call so much. Want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Jeff in Maryville, Tennessee, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
All right. I'm currently attending a Church of Christ, and our preacher's been doing a phenomenal job preaching a sermon series on Romans and how we can have assurance and how we have freedom and our salvation and so forth. And I come from a Southern Baptist background where we believe in the concept of once saved, always saved. And my preacher and I have been discussing this idea of eternal security. And, like I said, I've told him I appreciate his sermons. He's done a phenomenal job with this. But he keeps coming back to Romans 11, 20 through 22, and really wants me to answer, as far as once saved, always saved, he keeps claiming that this is a warning to us as Christians from Paul that we can be broken off just like the Jews were. So every bit of research that I've read, commentaries and articles and other internet searches and things keep stating that this is Paul talking to the Jews, explaining to them why their blessings had been removed from them and now given to the Gentiles. And I wanted to get your perspective on that because I keep getting, he really wants me to answer why does 11 Romans 11:20-22 mean? And as I try to explain to him what I just said about it's an explanation to the Jews, he keeps saying, no, that's a Calvinistic view.
Well, no. Let me, you know, I've only got 50 seconds before I go to break, so I'll try to do as much as I can in 50 seconds, and if I can't get through it, I'll pick up the rest of it on the other side of the break. But basically what you have here is a symbol in the cultivated olive tree. And that symbol is of the one covenant community of God. The tree actually symbolizes national Israel. Its branches symbolize those who believe, and its root symbolizes Jesus Christ, who is the root and the offspring of David. Natural branches broken off represent Jews who reject Jesus. In other words, they were never believers. Wild branches grafted in represent Gentiles who receive Jesus. And I'm going to have to leave it at that and pick up the rest of the answer on the other side of the break.
In 5 books of John, an all-star list of actors present the writings of the Apostle John, the most beloved disciple of Jesus, like you've never heard them before. This state-of-the-art dramatic audio presentation will help you live an ever-growing, authentic Christian life this new year. And it's Hank Hanegraaff's gift to thank you for your donation this month. So please request your 4-CD set of 5 Books of John when you renew your financial support today. This is the last day the Bible Answer Man broadcast will be offering this unique and transformational resource for your donation. So call now, 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. We'll be right back with Hank Hanegraaff after this. From John's opening brilliance, "In the beginning was the Word," to his final "Amen," the writings of this most beloved disciple provided a majestic tapestry of redemptive history. And to help you better understand the writings of this faithful apostle and to help you live an ever-growing authentic Christian life this new year, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you the dramatic audio presentation, 5 Books of John. This amazing production is voiced by an all-star cast of actors, and Hank himself personally voices introductions to each of John's 5 books to help you understand them even better. 5 Books of John is our gift to thank you for your renewed financial support of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your 4 audio CD copy of 5 Books of John when you give through our website. Go to equip.org. That's equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a unique and transformational gift to thank you for your renewed financial support this year. It's simply titled 5 Books of John, presented in dramatic audio theater. 5 Books of John is produced with state-of-the-art technology, including sound effects and an original musical score. It also utilizes the God-given talents of an all-star cast of actors, including Jim Caviezel, Michael York, Louis Gossett Jr., and Kimberly Williams Paisley. 5 Books of John will help you live an ever-growing, authentic Christian life this new year. And it's our gift to thank you for your renewed financial support today of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your 4 audio CD copy of 5 Books of John when you call with your donation, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. Jim Caviezel, Louis Gossett Jr., Kimberly Williams Paisley. These are some of the all-star actors who lend their voices to the dramatic audio presentation, Five Books of John. This unique and transformational resource will encourage and inspire you to draw closer to the Lord in 2014. And it's Hank Hanegraaff's gift to thank you for your donation this month. So please request your 4-CD set of the Five Books of John when you renew your financial support today. This is the last day the Bible Answer Man broadcast will be offering this unique and transformational resource for your donation. So visit equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick follow-up to Jeff. Jeff's no longer on the line, but I want to mention what I was starting to say with respect to what Romans chapter 11 is talking about in verses 21 through 24. The one chosen people who form one covenant community are there beautifully illustrated as a cultivated olive tree. And as I was saying before the break, the tree symbolizes national Israel. The branches symbolize those who believe, and its root symbolizes Jesus, who is the root and the offspring of David. So natural branches broken off represent Jews who reject Jesus. The wild branches that are grafted in represent Gentiles who receive Jesus. And therefore, Paul says, not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor, because they're his descendants, are they all Abraham's children. In other words, it's not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abram's offspring. So here again, you have Jesus, who is the one genuine seed of Abraham, and all clothed in Christ constitute one congruent, chosen covenant community that is beautifully connected by the cross. In Christ, there's no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no slave, there's no free, there's no male, there's no female. We are all one in Christ. So if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. But if you're a natural branch and you do not accept Jesus Christ, then you're broken off because you really do not receive the nourishing sap that comes from the root. And there again is the warning Paul is making, that not all who are descended from Abraham are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the covenants, because ultimately, it's not the natural children who are the children of God. It is those who are true Israel who are the descendants of God. So the full complement of God's people come from every tongue and every nation and every people throughout the earth that love and serve God. In the Old Testament, those like Abraham who looked forward to the cross, and in our epoch of time, those who look back at the cross, for the cross stands upon the fulcrum of history. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Mark in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, listening on CJCA. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Hank. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. So basically, my question is just about how I can explain to my brother, who's an atheist, that God is just. He uses examples from the Old Testament where God tells the Israelites to wipe out other nations, essentially genocide. And, you know, he can't really, he doesn't understand, that God would be, a loving God doing such things. Like, he thinks God's a hypocrite, and the Old Testament is, the whole Bible, I guess, that he thinks is false because of all these errors and stuff. I was just wondering if you could kind of help me explain to him about that.
Yeah, as far as the genocide is concerned, let's, by way of illustration, imagine that we're in the time of World War II. I was born in Holland, and my parents were involved in the Dutch resistance movement. But let's imagine that you found an enclave of notorious Nazi killers who were in process of wiping out men, women, and children innocent men, women, and children. And let's imagine that you had the opportunity to do something about it and you did. Would that mean that you are cruel, that you are vindictive, that you are ungodly? I don't think so. I think America, Britain, France was used in a way as an instrument of God's judgment against the Nazis. And I think this is a parallel to what you find with respect to what's going on with the Canaanites. But if you read the text closely, not with a jaundiced eye, but with an open mind, you find out that the command to destroy the Canaanites is contextualized by the command that you should not intermarry with them. Why? Because they're going to turn your sons and daughters away from following me to serve other gods. So this is what you are to do. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, burn their idols. Why? Because the aim of God is not the obliteration of wicked people, but the obliteration of wickedness. So God's instructions are qualified by his intentions to spare the repentant. And you find that classically demonstrated with the life of Rahab. She was one who believed in Yahweh, the God of Israel, and therefore she was not killed with those who were disobedient. Rahab and her family were spared on account of her faith, and she was therefore allowed to live among the Israelites and came to hold even a privileged position in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And there are many other examples that could be given in the scriptures. Consider the pagan city of Nineveh. That was the darling, the epicenter, as it were, of the Assyrian Empire. And when they repented, though they were grossly wicked, God's mercy came into view and they were spared. Remember, Jonah couldn't handle the fact that they were spared, but they were spared. Why? Because God is not only a God of justice, God is also a God of love and mercy. So I think the real issue with respect to the Canaanites is read the text with an open mind. Don't come to the text with a jaundiced point of view. And oftentimes this is precisely what skeptics and atheists do. They come to the text with a jaundiced perspective rather than reading the whole of the text with an open mind.
Yeah. He also mentioned, I'm not sure where it is exactly, but the Israelites are told by God to take, like, kill everybody, women and children, and just keep the young virgins, which he says is basically, like he says, read between the lines. They're, you know, being used as, property, basically.
Yeah, so, but you know what? You know what this smacks of? It's like someone trying to render an opinion on some very complex legislation passed through Congress. And you haven't read any of the legislation, but you've heard it characterized on the O'Reilly Factor or on Hannity or on MSNBC. If that's the characterization you have of that comprehensive piece of legislation, then you can make all kinds of comments about it, but those comments really aren't properly contextualized because you haven't read the document. Rather, you are making assumptions about the document based on bits of information you gleaned through the media. And this is what people do with complex Mosaic law. It is a complex system of law, and I would argue that though many of the laws have been abrogated, particularly with respect to civil and ceremonial laws, those laws were laws that exceed the kind of jurisprudence we would extend in our culture today. And in fact, if you read the Mosaic Law very carefully, one of the things that is found is a protection of those who are weak and innocent, such that if a woman is violated, the man now becomes culpable not to death, but to life, so that he can remain as someone that can support a person who has been violated and damaged. So there are complexities to Mosaic law, which I don't think you can read New World morality into. You have to read it within the context in which it is given, within the context in which it is being applied, and you have to have a more exhaustive knowledge than bits and pieces here and there. And that's precisely what it sounds like with respect to the characterizations of your friends. Now, I have written about this in various places. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, various other places as well, such as my book, Has God Spoken? There's a section in Learning to Read the Bible for All Its Worth, in which I deal with these kinds of Old Testament legalities.
Yeah, because that's the main thing he seems to have issues with, is that, you know, the New Testament and the Old Testament kind of contradict each other, where God, you know, kind of does these things, which I kind of have a hard time understanding because I'm not knowledgeable enough in all of it, so it's hard for me to explain to him, no, like, God isn't, you know, telling them to go rape people or whatever. Like,
yeah, well, you can't drink out of a fire hose. So what you have to do is sort of take it piece by piece. So now he's asked you about the Canaanites, and you come back and you give him an answer on the Canaanites. Here's what's really going on. And then, you know, again, you get the fire hose and all these other things. He says, oh, I can only deal with so many things at the same time. So you pick out something else. And here's what happens in the process. You become equipped. How can I give an answer? Well, I've had those questions before, and there have been times in my life where I didn't know how to answer those questions, and so I learned to answer those questions, and now the next time the question comes up, I have more ammunition, as it were, because I know more about the subject. And that's what we're all called to do. It's not as much being involved in evangelism, but being equipped for evangelism, and then when God gives you the opportunity, you're a tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit in the process of changing someone's heart.
Okay. All right. Just one more quick question if you have time.
Sure, quickly.
Have you heard about the 2520 prophecy?
That doesn't ring a bell. 2025 prophecy?
2520. It's
You mean 2025 or 2520?
I think it's 2520. It's something my dad is kind of involved in. It's I don't know if it's a branch of, but he's a Seventh-day Adventist, and this is kind of a newer teaching that's been discovered, and it has to do with some prophecies. I was wondering if you knew anything about that.
Well, I don't, but here's a classic example of what I was talking about. So now you bring something up to me. If I am ever asked that question again on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I'm going to have an answer. Reason is because I'm going to research in return. So when this program is done, I'm going to find out about the 2520. And next time someone asks me the question, I'll be ready to answer it.
All right.
Hey, thanks a lot for your call.
Thank you for your time.
You got it. Coming up to the station break, we'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you have not subscribed as yet to my new daily e-truth, short videos and written text come to your inbox every day to subscribe, simply go to equip.org/e-truth, and you can register online to get the new daily e-truth on a daily basis. Of course, we'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
To help you live an ever-growing, authentic Christian life this new year, we want to send you the unique and transformational Five Books of John audio presentation. Utilizing all-star acting talent to present the life and teachings of Jesus through the words of His most beloved disciple, this resource will draw you closer to our risen Lord. So please request your 4-CD set of Five Books of John when you renew your financial support today. This is the last day the Bible Answer Man broadcast will be offering this unique and transformational resource for your donation. So call now, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. There's more from Hank Hanegraaff coming up next. Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a unique and transformational gift to thank you for your renewed financial support this year. It's simply titled Five Books of John, presented in dramatic audio theater. Five Books of John is produced with state-of-the-art technology, including sound effects and an original musical score. It also utilizes the God-given talents of an all-star cast of actors, including Jim Caviezel, Michael York, Louis Gossett Jr., and Kimberly Williams Paisley. Five Books of John will help you live an ever-growing, authentic Christian life this new year. And it's our gift to thank you for your renewed financial support today of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your four audio CD copy of Five Books of John when you call with your donation, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, Equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At Equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos. Listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer. Or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make Equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. From John's opening brilliance, "In the beginning was the Word," to his final Amen, the writings of this most beloved disciple provided a majestic tapestry of redemptive history. And to help you better understand the writings of this faithful apostle and to help you live an ever-growing authentic Christian life this new year, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you the dramatic audio presentation, Five Books of John. This amazing production is voiced by an all-star cast of actors, and Hank himself personally voices introductions to each of John's five books to help you understand them even better. Five Books of John is our gift to thank you for your renewed financial support of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your four audio CD copy of Five Books of John when you give through our website. Go to equip.org. That's equip.org. This month, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a unique and transformational gift to draw you closer to our risen Lord this new year. Called the Five Books of John, this state-of-the-art dramatic audio theater presentation gives you a glimpse of the life and teachings of Jesus through the eyes of his most beloved disciple. So please, request your four CD set of the Five Books of John when you renew your financial support today. This is the last day the Bible Answer Man broadcast will be offering this unique and transformational resource for your donation. So visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you. And along with your words, Randy, I want to appeal to our listeners, to you listening to my voice right now, to support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast prayerfully and financially. I've been mentioning this the last, I think, 3 days, and this will be the last day that I get to mention it this month. We are running behind somewhere in the $50,000 mark. It could have been as high as $75,000, but we've made some traction. So I'd like to appeal to those listening to me that have some of the Lord's resources to consider making an investment in the ministry of the Christian Research Institute today. Without that support, my voice simply falls silent in many areas around the world. And as my way of saying thank you, as just mentioned by Randy, I'd be pleased to send you Five Books of John. This will be the last day that we'll be offering that as a way of saying thank you for your gift. This is produced with state-of-the-art audio technology. It includes sound effects, an original musical score, and it utilizes the God-given talents of an all-star cast of actors. And I can tell you on the basis of my own experience this month, and it doesn't have to be only for this month, it's something you can listen to for years to come, I can tell you I can make no more certain promise than to listen to the five books of John over and over again is transformational. Why? Because the five books of John is a compressed Bible. Think about it. Revelation itself is an overview of all of Scripture. The Gospel of John is one of the most beautiful Gospels. It is so beautifully composed as a linguistic tapestry. The theme of seven running through it. It is absolutely majestic prose. And then the epistles of John. When you read them, it's one thing. When you listen to them in this audio version, as I say, it's absolutely transformational. God speaking to you through the majesty of His Word. Again, available for your gift today, last day, and we do need your support. If you can help, we will use your resources for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And resource consultants, as always, standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. For those who joined the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, and many of you have been doing that over the last few days, and I deeply appreciate it, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as my way of saying thank you. I can personalize it to you, a family member, or a friend. That, again, is available. You can see it on the web at equip.org. If you have the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, you want something else, just let us know. Be happy to personalize that in place of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is my way of saying thank you. So again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Without you, we couldn't do what we do. Let's go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk next to Benjamin. He's listening in Kansas City, Kansas on Bot Radio. Hi, Benjamin.
How are you?
Good.
Okay, my question has to do with not a follow-up, but along the same lines as the other gentleman that called in and was talking about a just God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got kind of a two-part, and I'd like to start just by saying if I know somebody that was abused as a child, and they ask me, is it possible that that person that abused me will be in heaven? You know, I guess my answer would be yes. I guess if they were to have come to Christ prior to dying, they could be. So if that's the case and you agree with me, then where's the justice and how does that work out in the afterlife when those two people will be in the same area?
Yeah, well, you know, it's really interesting that a lot of people think that you can get away with sin in this world. All you have to do is pray a prayer, and all's forgiven. And certainly it is true that if we receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our lives, that we are covered not by our own righteousness, but by a foreign righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But having said that, the consequences to your sin follow inexorably like night follows day. So think of David. David is a classic case in point. He had Uriah killed on the battlefront because he wanted his wife. Now, David confessed his sin, and there's little doubt from a biblical perspective that Israel's quintessential king is with the Lord at this very moment, absent the body, present with the Lord. But what about Uriah? One might well suppose that he too is with the Lord, although I can't say that with any certainty. But the reality is this. Though they are together and now in a perfected state, if that is in fact the case, the consequences that followed David throughout his sin and even throughout his life and even after his life were dramatic, to say the least. So justice was exacted. And I would say also that as a righteous judge on earth does not give the same penalty for someone that runs a red light to someone who has raped a woman, so the God of the universe will do just, which is to say, everyone will be given according to what they have done. And this is what Jesus teaches. The foundation for believers is Jesus Christ alone, but on that foundation you can build. And the day of the Lord will bring to light what you have built. So there are degrees of reward in heaven, and conversely, there are degrees of punishment in hell. So we could say that a Garden Variety pagan is not going to suffer the same as someone like a Mao or a Hitler or a Pol Pot. So God's justice will be seen not only in our lives for time, but also will be seen in all eternity.
So then, as far as heaven is concerned, in that scenario that I brought up, so there wouldn't necessarily be a consequence in heaven, because heaven is supposed to be perfect, but rather there would be a lesser reward. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, that's precisely what I'm saying. I'm saying that there are degrees of reward in heaven and degrees of punishment in hell. And this is something amplified by Jesus Christ. So it's not something that I believe is true, but it's something that the Bible very clearly points out is, in fact, the case. So there are different crowns that are given to the righteous, and they are eternal rewards. There's also punishment in hell, which is different, which is to say that if you look at what the Bible actually says about punishments in hell, we see that some are going to suffer far more greatly than others. It's going to be more tolerable for Sodom, even, on the day of judgment, than Capernaum, who had Christ in their midst and yet rejected Jesus Christ.
Gotcha. Okay, so then the final question, actually the question that I asked when I called in, is it possible that Judas Iscariot is in heaven? Could he have, at the last moment, I mean, obviously, he realized what he did was wrong because he tried to get the money back. But is it possible that he is in heaven after what he did?
Possible, yes. But I think that if you look at the Scripture actually answers that question for you. With respect to his disciples, Jesus said during his high priestly prayer, while I was with them, I protected them, I kept them safe, so that none that you gave me, none was lost except the one doomed to destruction. And so Jesus specifically, I think, answered that question in pretty graphic language.
Right, that he is not. So in other words, his sin didn't necessarily make it so that he couldn't, because God's grace is sufficient, but it doesn't appear that that's the case, and Jesus is saying it's not.
Right, and remember that you don't just change your stripes quickly. That's the case for most people, which is to say that those who want a relationship with God, God never throws obstacles in their path. But those who do not want a relationship with God in time, and Judas showed that by his life. He loved what was on the master's table, but he didn't love the master. And so Jesus called him a devil, because Jesus saw his heart and knew his motivations. His relationship with Christ was only a means to his own ends.
Gotcha. All right. Hey, God bless you. I appreciate your ministry. I listen all the time, and thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Gary in Pueblo, Colorado. Hi, Gary.
Hello, Hank. First, I'd like to thank you, Hank, for discipling me in my Christian walk, and I just can't plead enough for anyone that listens in to just please support the ministry prayerfully and financially.
Thank you.
I do know that you stand up for truth, and I have never realized how hard it actually is to stand up for truth and A passage that keeps going through my mind is John 18:37, when Jesus mentioned that for that very reason he was born and came into the world, was to testify to the truth. And that just keeps resonating with me. And I know your ministry is trying to reach people with truth, and I know there's a lot of a lot of people that it just doesn't matter to them, which kind of leads me to my question. I probably already know the answer, but here it goes. I hear the names Irwin Baxter, John Hagee, Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, and it disturbs me that there's a different gospel there, and I don't know how bold or how bullyish to be to try to minister to my friends and family that listen to them and the other Word of Faith peddlers who admire them highly without turning them away from me. And sometimes I wonder if they're learning something, maybe that's good, or maybe they aren't understanding the simple gospel message and God's plan of salvation. So,
well, you know, it's interesting. I have just been writing about that again, because you have people like Joel Osteen, who are the hip new personification of God talk in America. They're a new, improved version of Benny Hinn and Jan Crouch and Kenneth Copeland. You no longer have the comb-overs and the blue wigs and the weird intonations, but you also do not have the words of Jesus Christ, "In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world." No room in the inn for talk like that. Unfortunately, we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Lance Man broadcast this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you Monday with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a unique and transformational gift to thank you for your renewed financial support this year. It's simply titled Five Books of John, presented in dramatic audio theater. Five Books of John is produced with state-of-the-art technology, including sound effects and an original musical score. It also utilizes the God-given talents of an all-star cast of actors, including Jim Caviezel, Michael York, Louis Gossett Jr., and Kimberly Williams Paisley. Five Books of John will help you live an ever-growing, authentic Christian life this new year. And it's our gift to thank you for your renewed financial support today of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your 4 audio CD copy of Five Books of John when you call with your donation, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI.